Welcome to the Bridging Success Podcast. I'm Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants, where we solve challenging technology issues for growing businesses. We are the leading customer-focused, community-involved expert technology consultants. Welcome to Bridging Success, the podcast where top B2B CEOs and executives share their insights, challenges, and game-changing strategies that drive innovation and business growth. I'm your host, Bo Jenkins, founder and CEO of BridgeNet Technology Consultants, where each episode we spotlight visionary leaders shaping the future, diving into critical decisions, leadership philosophies, and breakthrough moments that have helped propel them to success. Today, I'm joined by Adam Pavlitz. Adam is the CEO and president of Anago Cleaning Systems, an internationally franchised commercial cleaning brand headquartered in South Florida. Adam, thanks for joining in today.
Thanks for having me, Bo. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Reading some of your backstory, going from IBM, starting to clean toilets for dad, working your way up the chain. You've been there almost 15 years now. Tell us a little bit about your journey and how you've seen technology maybe change the shape of business in that time.
Yeah, and it's almost 16. I was actually looking back and I go, holy cow, what choices did I make here? Yeah, the quick version of my journey is I was probably mid-20s. I was at IBM. They did the pretty sizable round of layoffs during 2008, 2009, that big recession. I wasn't laid off. I was one of the analysts reviewing kind of all the pay packages, and I had no names. I had employee numbers, and I was helping the upper management look at who was getting the golden parachutes, who was getting the not-so-golden parachutes, who was not getting a parachute. And it was early in my career, and it's something where when you see that early in your career, you go, man, I could easily be 20 years, 30 years into my career and have some 20-something-year-old kid deciding my fate without knowing who I am and only having an employee number. And you go, man, that just doesn't leave the right taste in your mouth. And I was down for the holidays, and I was talking with my father, and he says, well, I think I have the tiger by the tail on this thing. You got to check it out. And it was 6 months later that I joined Anago, and that was at the end of 2009. And was there for it was 2015 when I was made CEO. So I traveled the country. I quite literally did my first job. He goes, you've left your highfalutin finance job, and your first job at Anago is you're going to be a telemarketer by day and a franchisee's assistant at night cleaning a daycare. So there are definitely more glamorous days than others. That at the beginning was the least glamorous. Ultimately climbed the ranks. And when I was made the CEO, the outgoing president, he was a funny guy. He was from West Virginia by way of Texas. So he had this wild accent to him. And he got me a business card holder. And it said PUDSOBIC instead of president. And his name's Terry. I go, Terry, what is this? What does this even mean? He goes, it stands for poor, unfortunate, dumb SOB in charge. And if he would have said it with his accent, it would have hit even harder. But yeah, so my approach to everything here at Anago has been very much like a servant leadership approach. Because when I started, I was probably late 20s by then. Didn't know more than the people who had been owning their franchise business for 5, 10, 15 years by that point. And for me, I had to evaluate technology through that lens. You're not going to choose Anago for your cleaning business, for your cleaning for as a franchise or for your cleaning services, because we have better technology in cleaning. Everyone's got the same. There's not a better mop and bucket out there. There's not a better vacuum. Yeah, there are better, but not something that like my competition couldn't also get a handle on. We can all get the same equipment. And so our investment in technology, we decided that we wanted to put all the investment into the customer service side of technology. With most service experiences, right, you can have one of three levels of an experience. Let's use something simple like a restaurant analogy, right? You go to a restaurant and you have a really great experience, right? Food is delicious. Waiter is great. You could have a terrible experience. Food's cold. Waiter's a jerk. Or you just have one of those middle of the road, just whatever experiences. With cleaning, there are not three levels of experience. There's two. And the reason is because nobody gets into their office maybe in your house, but not in the B2B space. Nobody gets into their office and goes, oh my goodness, My office is so clean, I'm gonna get my janitor a birthday present. It doesn't happen. So either you get into your office and you don't think about the cleaning and you go, I gotta work, and you look at your computer and do it, make your phone calls, whatever you gotta do, and you don't think about it at all. Or you get to your office and you go, why is my trash can still full? Why does the bathroom smell bad? And so you have those two levels of experience where ultimately cleaning is something where you go, there's a problem, or it's something you don't want to be thinking about. And so acknowledging that, we said, how can we use that to our advantage in the customer service space? So we created a proprietary platform called CleanCom. We're not great at naming things, but we are good at creating new applications for our customers. But so it's clean communication, CleanCom. And ultimately what CleanCom does is it addresses that pain point issue of you came in and there's an something didn't go right. And I would say, like, in thinking about my business model, right, there's the pros of having a human element is it's not going to get exported to China. You have to have the people cleaning your building that live in your local community. Amazon's not going to come to town and take over all of cleaning in your market, USA. So the small business and franchises are small businesses, cleaning franchise or small business. That small business cleaning business is here to stay. Cons, because you have a human and we're all only human, we're going to make a mistake. And so our software is designed around the inevitability of when that mistake happens. You have to capitalize on that and say, how can I use that mistake moment to make a friend? And so what CleanCom does is it allows you to have totally private communication, right? So no cell phones or anything like that exchange. If you have an issue with your cleaning, you're able to snap a picture of it with your cell phone. You can message whoever's cleaning your office. You can speak in your native language and they can speak in theirs. It has built-in Google Translate. It has a built-in 2-hour response guarantee so that if there's an issue, you will get responded to within 2 hours. So you're not waiting and wondering. And then to take it a step further, we've added what we call preventive analytics. And so preventive analytics essentially allow for the regional franchise owner to be able to see what's going on at the client level. So maybe a particular unit franchisee who's cleaning several accounts has some reported issue about having trouble cleaning the bathrooms properly across multiple accounts. That will alert the regional franchise owner and say, hey, wait a minute, let me bring this guy back in and retrain him on how to properly do restrooms so that we don't have further issues down the line that easily have been solved through a retraining. So we're all in on technology. We're in the process right now of even taking that further and saying, okay, how do we add AI to that? We're in an e-learning platform. So it's like, how do we take not something where it's a trigger where the regional franchisee even has to be aware of it, right? It's something where the AI goes, okay, we know this person has an issue with restrooms. Let's already trigger up something from an e-learning platform, a video and a quiz that he has to watch and pass in order to be recertified. And then, of course, anything else that AI can tell you, okay, if someone has, I don't know, they get a report of an issue about a trash can and a bathroom, there's a decent chance that account's going to look to cancel your services and go with someone else. How do we get ahead of that and prevent stuff like that? So I could go down the rabbit hole with you. And so I've been talking for a while here, but yeah, we're all in on technology and AI in our space.
I love that. How long have y'all had CleanCom? When was it launched, and how long have you been massaging it and tweaking it to make it better and better?
CleanCom's been out since just slightly before COVID. It got hampered in terms of its rollout during COVID, but ultimately we've been promoting that now for several years. And it started as like a single project, right? It was, okay, here's something we're going to create. And now it's quite literally, it's just part of our ongoing IT budget. You know what I mean? We went from, we're going to create an app to solve a solution to now I have two developers, a QA person, and a product enablement person on staff. You know what I mean? Like we went from a commercial cleaning franchising company to an IT company that just happens to be in janitorial.
Love it. So I have to imagine that was a pretty big achievement, pretty big milestone for y'all. Are there any other particular achievements or milestones that stand out to you in your history with Anago?
In terms of milestones and achievements, there's a lot. So one of the things that we did coming out of COVID, actually, we were roughly a 60 million-ish in sales brand. And During COVID, right, it was just chaos with everything. And we're meeting with our franchisees at the height of it, probably twice a week, just with the entire system going, what's going on? Here's what we know. Here's what we don't. Here's what we're looking into. Here's what we're all keeping an eye on. And just, I think for me, it showed me how much communication and just vision casting was necessary to get everyone rowing in the same direction and looking in the marching in the same to the same beat. So coming out of COVID, like I said, we were around that 60 million in sales, and I said I want to be a $100 million brand. And I met with our executive team and some of our franchise advisory committee, and we came up with a what we called the $100 million challenge. It was a five-pronged plan and things that we were going to constantly, we messaged like crazy. There was different investments in sales and investments in technology, infrastructure. And we said, I want to be a $100 million brand, which is over 50% growth, and I want to do it in 2 years. And through all of that, we were able to do it in 19 months. Extremely exciting. My problem is I'm too type A, and I'm talking to a buddy of mine, and he goes, and I go, man, I thought it would have felt different. We hit this 100 million. And he goes, I know your problem. He goes, as soon as you hit the 100 million, the first thing you thought of wasn't like, great job. It was, now, how do we get to 200? And stupid me, right? I get out in front of my entire franchise system not that long ago, maybe about a year ago, and say, okay, now we hit 100, and I'd like to be at 300 million by the end of 2028. And we're calling it, again, we're not great at naming conventions. So we're calling it Vision 2028, but you walk off stage and you're like, holy crap, did I just commit to that in front of everybody? But yes, we did. There's nine steps to this thing. We're firing on all cylinders, but it's about just getting in front of everybody, getting the buy-in, but then constantly casting the vision and recasting it and making sure everybody is hearing about it all the time and thinking about it all the time to get everybody motivated. So those are some good ones.
Yeah, I love that. The one of the best definitions I've heard of an entrepreneur is somebody that jumps out of a plane without a parachute and builds the parachute on the way down.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, it's
making that
the
$300 million statement, you're building the parachute on the way down, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So you made some references to AI. Outside of AI, what other technologies are playing a role in the evolution of cleaning services, and how are y'all at Antigo adapting to those changes?
That really is a big one, right? There isn't a technology, like I said, in the actual operational side that is evolving things rapidly, right? There's a lot of robotics being introduced. It's still very much set up where it's for those wide open spaces where we're going to put a floor machine and let it run through an open warehouse or something like that. But to have a cleaner that can actually go through an office and not and dust a desk and mop a floor and not knock over the picture of you and your kids or your laptop, your monitor screen, or you need Rosie the robot before we get to that, and we're not quite there. So I would say the tech is definitely AI driven from a sales and marketing standpoint, right? It's all about any technology you can figure out what's going on your website, right? Obviously, like SEO and PPC and that sort of stuff, but I'm thinking more like the Hotjars of the world, where it's like, who is on my site? What are they looking at? Why? How long are they spending? Why are they looking at that? Am I messaging to them correctly to make sure that they got there and they didn't go, ah, I got to get out of here? And so it's always about retooling and retooling to make sure you're in front of the right customer at the right time. Because frankly, in my industry, it was one of those. We did a big customer survey not that long ago, and you find out there's not a magic. There's no magic ingredient, no secret sauce. Obviously, you have to present well and have a polished salesperson and all that. But ultimately, people are selecting their next cleaning company for their business, frankly, based on a screw up from the incumbent. So it's that time when, their trash can is full and they're not happy about it. And that's the fifth time in the last 2 weeks that the trash can's still full. Yes, we have obviously software to prevent that, but it's also okay. Now they go, wait a minute, I need a new cleaning company. And they go online and they search it, and I got to be there and making sure I'm there, and then making sure when
Same.
and making sure when they get to my website that I'm saying what they need to hear, so that ultimately they at least give us a shot and find out that yes, the investment we've made in customer service is going to make sure that they don't have to pick another cleaning company after us.
Yeah, I'm sensing a lot of parallels here. I started out of college at Exxon, lasted 18 months, realizing I'm just going to be another cog in the wheel if I stick around here as well, and bolted. It took me a little bit longer to re-engage my entrepreneurial spirit, but we're in the same boat when it comes to winning new customers. Somebody will get frustrated with their incumbent IT provider, and you got to be there. You got to be in front of them. You got to have them be hitting them with that right message all along so that you're top of mind.
Exactly.
So take tech off the table for a little bit and just talk with me about the cleaning industry in general. What kind of trends or shifts are getting you excited in when it comes to B2B cleaning? How is Antigo positioning itself to take advantage of these opportunities?
Yeah, it's definitely been a little bit of a riding of a wave the last few years. I think people coming out of COVID, right? So in the cleaning space, coming out of COVID, it's very difficult in my industry to be able to raise prices on customers because it's an extremely competitive industry. I think coming out of COVID, everyone, including every competitor I've ever had, we said this is our time to get a raise. And frankly, with minimum wage going to 15 plus an hour around the country, you had to do it. Now, so it was great thinking about that, where we were able to raise prices. Now we're in this place where I feel like most Americans are pretty inflated out. And so now we're getting back to that competitive nature where the pricing is going to be a crucial ingredient to it. And of course, my industry, I live between where labor is looking to make more per hour and the customer is constantly looking to pay a little bit less. And so we get to live in that little narrow chamber between the two of them. Number one, I would say seeing unemployment being lower and lower is always a good thing because ultimately it makes it that much easier for us to fill the roles, right? People are looking for jobs. You're able to bid things at higher rates. And so you're able to capture a more sophisticated person who wants to be your employee, especially at these higher rates. Conversely, or not conversely, but tangentially, what we're seeing is a consolidation, right? So if you're a customer, you don't want just commercial cleaning. You want commercial cleaning and HVAC and pest control and like a one-stop shop so that you have one place. You know exactly how they're going to treat you as a customer, and you can get all the services that you need for your office building by calling one company. And so that's something we've been just now exploring. I would say we've made some industry strategic partnerships where we're able to align with some other companies in our area that are tangential office building services, like I said, like pest control, landscape, security, HVAC. And so we're seeing that is the next wave to ride, right? Where customers are now pressing the price downward. But ultimately, if you're able to offer them multiple lines of service, then you're able to make your average ticket price that much larger off the same customer, even in a compressed margin kind of economy that we're in right now.
Yeah, you need to throw IT into that mix as well, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that's good. Yeah, that is exciting. Business office building solutions for one-stop shop. I like that. What about internally? How do you foster and improve Antigo's culture using technology from an internal perspective? If CleanCom, that attracts the franchisees wanting that solution to be able to bring to their client. What about internally to help foster the culture? What are you using tech-wise?
I think from a technology standpoint, part of it is culture has to be driven top down. So I'm an admitted nerd. I love technology. I'm probably undiagnosed OCD when it comes to how organized I like things. And so for me, I'm constantly looking at what's the next thing we can play with, what's the next thing we can work with. And it's making sure that you're pushing that all the way down. Because I'm sure there's companies where, so an example actually was I was talking to a friend of mine, and they're a marketing consultant, and they said there's two types in marketing. There's two types of CEOs. There's the CEO who like absolutely loves marketing and thinks it's a crucial piece of the organization and how you ultimately get more leads and sell more deals. And then there's the CEO who really just doesn't understand marketing and is, yeah, we need it and you guys can do it, but I'm not going to be the champion of it. I think it has to work like that with technology in terms of your usage as an internal business. I quite literally, we're on nothing special, right? We're on Google Workspace. We use Gemini all the time. I quite literally host little internal AI. I go to CEO sessions that I've learned about on how to use AI and how to help it improve your everyday. And then I bring that back and host little internal sessions with my team on, hey, here's another tip on how to make your job easier. Here's how you can use this to speed this up or have it analyze that. So I think it's just about constantly encouraging it, but also making sure you're encouraging that final human review, right? I don't want my employees to be lazy and say, oh, I just chat GPT'd this or Gemini'd this or whatever, and here you go. It's use it, use that to kickstart your idea, use that to speed up your writing process or your thought process, but ultimately still take the time to read it over and think about it and put your spin, your flavor on it. And I think if you encourage that, ultimately it turns into something where every employee is that much more productive, but also knows that this isn't some kid turning in a high school paper where you just phone it in and turn it in and hope you get a B minus or something like that. You got to actually read this thing and make sure it says what you want it to say. And how can you keep prompting and re-prompting it until it does or gets it darn close to where you can ultimately adjust it minimally and keep moving? So I think it's helps make everyone more productive by saying we not only allow it, we encourage it, but you need to be the final reviewer and editor of anything you produce using any kind of AI.
I like that. That's good. So any upcoming projects or initiatives that you're particularly excited about that you want to share before we wrap things up today?
Yeah, so we're in the process of doing a major update for our CRM again, because I don't stop with the technology. Like a lot of franchise businesses, our CRMs are probably little islands unto themselves, right? You almost have one system that's the CRM and another system that's like the billing. And it's just they were thought of separately because we're a 37-year-old franchise brand now. And so we're doing this huge investment where all the from beginning to end, so literally from lead to from website or telemarketing still works, email marketing, website, any of those leads ultimately to an appointment, to a proposal generated from another piece of our proprietary software, followed up on, sold, unit franchise sold, and that entire process ultimately to where the client gets serviced, gets invoiced, the money gets collected, and the franchisee servicing the account that's the their cut paid to them. All of that entire process from beginning to end creates zero paper and has zero double entry. And so that's something as nerdy as it sounds, that is really exciting to me to just eliminate all paper and double entry. But I think ultimately it's just going to make the entire experience for the franchisees and for the customers that much easier and that much more streamlined. But we quite literally just got into beta testing last month with one of our locations. And I think next month we go live with a few more. So it's starting to build some momentum. And I'm really pumped about my new little paperless janitorial CRM here that has been many months in the making.
I don't know how much paper y'all go through. I have to imagine it's a pretty good bit, but the double entry, the lack of double entry would excite me. Just
Yeah.
eliminating that manual effort of moving stuff, moving data from one system to another.
Yeah.
Great, great. Look, for listeners that are inspired by your story, what's one key takeaway you hope they remember from our conversation today?
One of our franchisees said this on a testimonial video that we got of him years and years ago, and I'll say it to this day. Cleaning is not sexy. It's not something that you think about when you're a kid. I want to grow up and get into janitorial business. But he said, but you can take it to the bank. And so I would just say anyone who has thought about whether it's a franchise or not a franchise or just a small business that they're looking to start or buy into, look at the things that you don't think are sexy but are necessary. That's honestly, what's going to be here in 5 years when the Terminator robots take over, right? What's going to be here? What's going to still be here? Janitorial services, haircuts. So I would say, look where other people maybe think that it's boring. Boring can be beautiful and very profitable.
That's great. For people that want to learn more about Antigo Cleaning Systems or stay updated on your latest developments, how do they find you? Where should they reach out?
So we are at anagocleaning.com. We're on all social media, and it's just at anagocleaning for the handle, and that's at ANAGO Cleaning. And then I'm very active personally on LinkedIn. So if you want to shoot me a message on LinkedIn, I will be sure to respond to you.
Adam, I really appreciate the time today. It was great talking.
My pleasure.
This is Bo. Thank you so much for listening to the Bridging Success Podcast. If you are a successful business owner who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.bridgenetllc.com to sign up. If something in this episode connected with you, would you mind sharing it on social media? Just take a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or share it on your favorite social media platform. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media with the hashtag #BridgingSuccess and let them know about the show. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, and reviews, they go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, bridgenetllc.com, or follow me on LinkedIn. Find me on Facebook at /BJakins or on Instagram at BoJakins. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.